Jail and prison, out in the street with a needle in my arm, out there having to go out there and fight, be a gangbanger, somebody who lives a life outside of these walls. You know, for years I spent time in jail and prison in three different states as a gang member, as somebody who went out there and lived that life. I had a 15-year opioid addiction, addicted to alcohol. You think I would want to forsake when I get here? I don't know about what you get here, but I can see by your faces you don't get much. I'm not afraid to tell it the way it is, by the way. That's just how I am. I wasn't afraid when I was out there living on the streets. I sure ain't afraid today. Don't threaten me with that. What are you going to do, send me to heaven? That's fine. But I'll go to heaven doing what I love to do.
Amen.
For whatever reason, the Lord, as I was sitting back there just praying, bowing my head before I come up here, because it's a serious matter that I handle the Word of God.
Yeah.
And I just prayed back there, brother, and I just said, Lord, how would you have me to open this, and what would you have me to say? And a story came to my mind of a family that we have in our church in Black Creek, New York. That's about an hour and a half south of Buffalo. And as I was contemplating on what God would have me to say, he says, tell the story of that couple that's in your church. They're an older couple now. They're in their 60s. They have three sons. Out of those three sons, they brought them up in church. They were in church all the time. They didn't know anything outside of church. Those three sons all became convicts. They all became drug addicts. They all went out there and lived a life as criminals. And the one guy that I was working with, who I loved dearly, he was very close to me. He kept coming in and out of jail, in and out of prison, addicted to heroin. He couldn't get himself off of it. And I just said, what is stopping you from coming back to church where you know the help is, where you grew up? And his response was this: my parents are hypocrites.
No.
One way in church and another way here. Mm-hmm. Almighty hypocrite that's sitting in these church pews today. Mm-hmm. Your children are watching and it will damn them to hell. It will damn them to hell. You say, man, why are you saying that? Why don't you ask God? He gave me that back there. I don't open up services like that. There's somebody in here who needs to hear the truth, and that's the truth today. It ain't because I'm a jerk or a hard-nosed or anything like that. But look, I'm the one, Brother Peter. I'm the one who's going to come around and tell the truth. So if you don't want the truth, don't invite me here. I can only do what God instructs me. But there's a warning going out to somebody that's in this church that's being hypocrites. How about a church leader? People are watching the church leaders, how they act and what they do in this very church. It's not a wonder why our generations that are coming up behind us, they no longer even bring a Bible to church. You go, is that really important? It is. Because the world's watching. Your children are watching. The people in the church are watching. Well, I'll just use the one that's in the pew in front of me. Shame on you. God gave you a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, I'll give you one. God, carry it in church. Today, we're in a society that cares all about technology, and it's a good thing, but I'll tell you what, it's a terrible thing when technology replaces our Bibles.
Yeah. Right.
You say, why do you say that? I have a jail right now, and I'm working in a bunch of jails and prisons. Our information's on that table. Please get it. Just, if anything, get a prayer card and see what kind of, we're not the typical jail and prison ministry. If you don't know about us, go watch Sunday School. You'll hear about who Dale Morey is and what Liberty Behind is all about. We're not just a typical jail and prison ministry. We go beyond that. But what it is I got jails now who will not allow me to send in a Bible to those people. And I go, why won't you allow me to send a Bible so they can hold that in their hand? And they said, because of technology, they can now download. It's not the same.
No.
Just not the same as having that Bible in your hand. And it's something special. I don't know about anybody else, but this Bible is special to me.
Oh, yeah.
It's God's Word. It means something to me. And I want the world to know, and I want the world to see that who I am and what I believe in, what I stand. I want them to be able to see that there's something different about me because this world is screaming for help. Church people are screaming for help. Do you know I can start a ministry alone, brother? I can start a Baptist children's ministry out of Liberty Behind Bars for all the little boys and girls and the young teenagers who are in jails, prisons, and mental hospitals today. I can start a ministry just off of that. How many phone calls are we getting from pastors and deacons, Amy? Because you know what the attitude in church is? That can't happen to us. Oh, God forbid. God forbid a person who sits in this room and says that cannot happen to us. God forbid. Well, anyway. God is good. He's merciful. He saved me out of that lifestyle. He saved me into this lifestyle. He's given me the ability and the privilege to preach His word. He's given us the honor to go in jails and prisons and to minister to those men and women and their families and try to help them when they come out. We're in a position of trying to open up a transition home for ladies. Our information is on that table. We're trying to raise money to get that transition home going. Why? Because they don't know how to live and function in society like you do. We just look at them, oh, they're such bad people, they're terrible, blah, blah, blah. You're the same. Mm-hmm. There's no difference in your heart. You just don't live it outwardly.
Right.
The only difference between me and a person sitting in this church today is I lived it outwardly. I was crazy enough to do it. You're not. Mm-hmm. It's in your heart, though.
Right.
Jesus Christ points that out in the book of Matthew.
Right.
He says, not the things that come out of the man, it's those things that are in their heart. Yeah. You look at a woman, hey, men, husbands. You look at a woman on the front cover of that little magazine in a little supermarket, that's adultery.
That's right.
And yet you'll go lay with your wife that night and think you're okay. I won't do that to my wife. You know why? Because I love her more than that. I won't disrespect my wife by doing that to my wife. By the way, if your wife is the love of your life, how can you not open up the doors for her? That's a reality. Don't say something that ain't. Ladies, well, same with your husband. I see a disease running in the churches today, and it's this. Little pretty girls wanting to be mommies with this. And the very moment, Pastor, that they get married and start having kids, they realize it wasn't in their heart. Mm-hmm. And it's destroying them. It's showing her, you know, my prayers for my little girl? To find a man who loves Jesus more than her. Find a man who loves that Bible, who loves church more than anything else on this planet.
Amen.
And that man will learn how to dwell with according to her knowledge. You ever notice that God doesn't make us men or make the ladies dwell with us according to our knowledge? You ever notice God puts the responsibility of the man for the woman? But today men have become so effeminate, so emotional, that they can't even carry those things of their wife. They can't carry what their wife needs. Their wives need to be able to set that load upon them, and that husband be able to take that with the wives and the children. He needs to be able to take that and carry that and lead them not away from church, not away from godly things, not away from the Bible, but to it.
Yeah.
And then just because you can fight don't make you man. Oh. I was a fighter, and I like to fight. But it didn't make me a man. You know what makes me a man? To do what God told me to do. Take my wife and my children and get them in church.
Yeah,
that's right.
To do the things that God would have us to do.
Wow.
Bunch of foolishness. I love being here. And I believe God can do a work with this church in this area. I believe that with all my heart. I believe He has.
Amen.
But I tell you what, don't fall asleep on the devil.
Oh, yeah.
Don't get comfortable. Well, salvation is a work of God. It's grace given to those who repent and believe. Preachers have left off teaching repentance. My goodness, are you kidding me? Without repentance, Jesus says, there is no salvation.
Right.
There is a repentance that happens in a person's life when they come to salvation, and it's not a work.
Amen.
It's something that God does inside of a person.
Amen.
Turn with me to Mark chapter 1. And let's look at salvation here for a few minutes. Because I think people people got it mixed up. I think they believe salvation comes by what we can do for them. You know what the very first thing is that when I go meet new men and women that are incarcerated, the very first thing they think about me is that I'm a bank account. You know what happens to those men and women that are out there in the outside of church today and you want to go help the poor? You know what they think your church is? A bank account. Why? Because we've taught them that. We've left off the spiritual and just started doing all the physical stuff for them. That ain't helping them. It's got to go beyond just giving them things. We got to teach them. We got to become involved. Don't knock at somebody's door, give them a track, and then leave them. Go back. And if somebody does say they got saved, where are they in the church? Why isn't they running from you at the grocery store? And not running to you. I tell you what, brother, when I got saved, I didn't run. My pastor didn't have to come pick me up from church. I tell you, nobody had to tell me that Sunday and Wednesdays was church days. Nobody had to call me and beg me to be in church on Sunday school.
That's good.
Oh, well, preaching can't happen at Sunday school. I learned some of the best stuff on the planet at Sunday school. You kidding me? It's the same Bible at Sunday school as it is in the 11 o'clock service. It just depends where our priorities are at. Where's God? He's supposed to have the preeminence in our life. I can't tell when somebody don't show up to Sunday school, he's really got preeminence. I understand people are sick. I get it. What's going on Saturday night? College football? Why can't you be in church in the morning at 10 o'clock? Hunting season here? Where's your priority when it comes to Jesus Christ? Well, we have to ask ourselves that constantly. Why? Because this Bible goes against everything we are.
Yes, sir. Right.
They don't make me comfortable. If you're comfortable sitting on preaching, it's not that the Bible has lost power. It's the hardness of your heart and the stiffness of your neck. Brother, there's a disease that goes on. People become familiar with the verse. Therefore, they say, well, I heard that verse before. I heard somebody preach out of that. And they close their ears from that point on. Just because you become familiar with the verse does not mean it's lost its power.
Amen.
That's on you.
Amen.
God's got something to teach you no matter what verse is being taught.
Well,
you understand that's the word of God.
Yeah. Come on. Good.
Mark chapter 1, verse 15 says this. Jesus is going to speak here. He said, "This the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." Repent. That means to turn. Turn away. Change your mind of what you used to be to what God wants you to be. And I thank God that when he saved me, he changed my life. He didn't leave me the same person I was. Amen. You're lucky I'm not the same person that I was.
Amen.
You wouldn't want me around you.
Good boy. Amen. Praise the Lord.
I hated church people. You understand? I hated God. And all those tattoos on me will prove it. God in his mercy worked a work in my life and brought me to that place where I repented of who I was. You know why I come to church? I don't come to church because it's something that I do. I come to church because it's who I am now. Because I have the Spirit of Christ living inside of me. Jesus Christ inside of me. The hope of glory.
Amen.
What's your hope? The Spirit that Jesus Christ is in you, and that we ought to go out there and share that hope. Not die to it. Hey, he didn't tell us, he didn't save us, make us repent and turn from just to put it in neutral and cruise out of here. Brother, I don't know about you, but he's never stopped working in my life.
Hey.
I've been 12 years saved, and there ain't a time that God isn't working in my life. What's he trying to do? Conform me into his image to make me look less and less like myself and more like Jesus. If you're still doing the same things and thinking the same things and doing whatever you did, let me tell you something. You might have missed the mark. I don't remember where the study came from. There's a study out there. You can go look it up. From the men age 50 down, in Baptist churches, they did a poll. And 100% of men from the age 50 down looked at pornography at least once a week in a Baptist church. Mm. Pornography is rampant in this church. There's unclean spirits in here.
Help them.
That's a fact. You go, how do you know that? Because I seen your faces when I said it. And you know who you are. Call me. Tell me I'm a liar. Tell me that the Holy Ghost of God is a liar. Tell me. He's trying to help. Trying to help a person. He's trying to expose the truth of what you are. So that he can work in your life. That's a reality. See, he's not just some little pansy tiptoe. That's not how God dealt with people. It's not how Jesus Christ dealt with people. He brought them exactly where they needed to be, under the laws of God, so they could see exactly what they are in his eyes. He wasn't trying to show them from what they are in their own eyes. He was trying to show them what they are from under what his laws are, what his stances were. I became guilty under a holy God, not because I was a criminal, not because I was a drug addict, not because I was a gang member, but because I became guilty under the laws of God. Romans 3:20 says that what? Sin comes by the knowledge of the law. Right. Yeah. Man, when you get arrested and you stand before that judge, you want to know what you're being sentenced for. Yeah. What? How are you going to know what you are in the eyes of God without that book? Amen. Without a preacher to come and tell you. He says, repent and believe.
Amen.
Turn from what you think. Turn from your ways to God's ways. Let me tell you something. It's a hard process. Why? Because our flesh, our sin nature, that thing that's so inside of us, that's been embedded with us since we were little children. People say, are little children sinners? Well, let me ask you this. Do you have to teach children how to do the right thing or the wrong thing? They're naturally born to doing wrong things.
Right. Yeah.
Why is that? That's the sin nature that's in them. That's what Jesus Christ came to do with that sin nature. You have a sin nature because that's what you are, and because you are that, you do sins. Pretty simple. Yeah. Pretty basic. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I do repeat my verses a lot because I want people to know. And I like hearing the pages of the Bible's turn. So if you could just, you know, honor God and turn there when, if you have a Bible, or scroll through there if you have a tablet or whatever, at least look at what's being said. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 16 says this, wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, we know him no more. What does that mean? No more are we going to know Christ according to the law. He's fulfilled it. He's done. He's paid the price. He's in eternity.
Amen.
How are we going to know him now? Through that book.
Amen.
And boy, I tell you something. When he gets inside of you, he don't leave you the same.
Oh, yeah.
What's this say? Look at these pretty simple verses here. Therefore, if... Why does he put if in the King James Bible? Because maybe some are and maybe some aren't saved. Right. If is maybe it could be or maybe it's not.
Right.
But what he's about to say is going to bring a challenge out to people. He says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he might be. He could be. Oh no, it says he is. That is a definite article. That means it's 100%. He is a new creature. Not a new creation if you have one of those new Bibles. A new creature means I have Christ living inside of me.
Amen.
You know what happens when Christ lives inside of a person? He changes them. We believe, according to Colossians, that he spoke the world into existence. How did he do it? He didn't do it by forming it with his hands. He spoke it into existence.
Yeah.
If that's the case and that same Jesus lives in you, then why ain't he changing you?
Mm.
Is the problem with the Jesus that's living inside of you, or is it you? Because according to this Bible, either we believe it or we don't, there's no fence with God. Either you're hot or cold. What side are you on? Either you're a new creature in Christ or you're not. That's what it says. He is. He is a definite article. He is a new creature. Old things might pass away. Oh, no. Oh, it says this. He is a new creature. Old things are present tense, passed away. What does that mean? There's a cycle going on inside of a new believer. And God has taken those old things. This is where repentance comes in after we're saved. You mean you still repent after you're saved? Of course we do. There are things that God brings to light to that person, and that person sees that and says, old things are passed away. That means those old things that we once were, those old thoughts that we used to have, those old ways that we used to do are no more anymore. We're starting to turn from those things. It says, old things are passed away. Behold! You know what that word behold means? To stop and take a look. Something's going on. Something happened to that person. Hey, when I got saved, people knew it. Why? Their money stayed in their pocket. The liquor store started going broke. I didn't go buy cigarettes anymore. Hey, people knew where I got saved. You know what they said? What happened to Dale? Jesus is what happened to Dale, my friend. Jesus got inside of me. And they said, behold, all things are become new. What is it? All things are become new. He didn't leave me the same person that I was. I don't even look the same. I didn't dress the same. What you see on the outside, it isn't much, but it doesn't make me saved. It's only a reflection of what happened on the inside. You want to know how people, if they're saved or not, watch how they dress, watch how they talk, watch what they laugh at. What are you doing in secret? That's the person God's trying to get after. He's not trying to get after you in here all the time because he knows he might not be able to reach you. But that one that you're at home and you're scrolling through things and looking at things and saying things and laughing at things that you wouldn't do in church, that's the one God's trying to get after, my friend. Why? All things become new. As a convict for many years, I started out in a boys' home. We come in jail and prison and such, and Father Baker's boys' home is where it started. Through all those things, what do you think I learned in there? Pornography. The pornography addiction was out of control. I thought I'd never be made free from that. Oh.
But God.
But Jesus.
Amen.
You know what he's done? He's given me eyes for that beautiful woman that I have sitting back there. 21 years of marriage, I thought, my goodness, I could never love somebody. I could never be happy with one person. That can't ever happen because for my world, we're always shown that. We're taught that that can't happen. But oh my God, when God gets into a marriage, my friend, it's the best thing ever happened on the planet. And let me ask, let me tell you this. We fall in love more and more every year. Yeah. We're still on our honeymoon. Ain't that wonderful? I still look forward to being with my wife. I'm talking about just being with her in general. I'm not trying to escape my wife and go out and sit in a garage or a shed. When I don't get to hold my wife's hand for a few hours, I miss that. I miss her talking to me. When I go away and I have to go preach somewhere or whatever it is, I call her and I text her and say, man, I sure miss you. She says, honey, I miss you too. I need to hear your voice. Why? God has given me a wife to love, not pornography. All things are becoming new in this process. Guess what? It doesn't come by turning over a new leaf. You know what happens to the leaves when you turn them over? They die and turn brown. It's no good. How many January 1st comes around? How many New Year's resolutions is everybody making in this room, and how well are you doing in the last year? Oh, I see people doing it all the time with religiousness. And guess what it does? Zero. Why? Because it's not about turning over a new leaf. It's about a miracle that God works inside of a person. You see, this whole salvation thing that happened to me wasn't about what I'd done. God brought me to a place where I realized what I was. And I made the choice to repent and believe. And then he did the miracle inside of me. And now what you see here today, and you might not see much. All you hear is this loudmouth guy up here yelling. But I'll tell you what right now. You see a new man in Jesus. Hey, if you're saved in here, you're going to spend eternity with me. Hey, guess what's in heaven, brother? They're singing and shouting in heaven. If you don't like shouting, my goodness, do you watch football or do you listen to, or go watch NASCAR? You can stand all the shouting at that, but you can't stand a preacher who gets fouled?
Good.
God forbid what kind of people we become. so thin skinned.
Yeah.
My goodness, I never met such thin skinned Christian people in my life. It's a miracle that God works in a person, that He does inside of a person. Turn with me to John chapter 1, St. John chapter 1. And I want to show you this miracle that God works inside of a person in John chapter 1. Gosh, I got to get there myself. Give me a second here. Come back tonight. We believe the Lord's got something. Don't miss out on church, man. The day I got saved, brother, I got up off my knees. I was at my living room, 90 and a half East Main Street, October 10th, 2011.
Amen.
I got saved. I got up off my knees. The Holy Ghost had just got done dealing with me. I looked at my pastor. I said, I'll never miss a church service again. Outside of the surgeries that I've had, because I've had 16 back and neck surgeries. Mm. Outside of those, I've never missed church.
Lord.
Why? This is where I belong. This is where I love to be. This is my home.
Amen.
I can hear the Holy Ghost of God talking to me through that beautiful King James Bible. And He works in my life. Why would I want to miss that?
Oh, yeah. Amen.
Why would I want to miss that, brother? If God meant so much to me, why do I want to miss it? Hey, if I told you right now that under this floor where this carpet is at, there's gold bars, there's gold bullions in there, but all you can use is your fingers to get to it, how many of you would dig there till your fingers are bleeding? Let me tell you about the treasure that's in here.
That's right.
Why aren't you digging? Why doesn't it mean that much to you? Oh. Let me just say this. The problem is not with this. The problem is with your heart. It's never been with the Bible. It's never been with God. It's always been with our heart. It's always been with that sin nature. Let me just tell you this. I heard this a long time ago. I don't know who said it. But somebody said this. Either the Bible's going to keep you from sin or sin's going to keep you from the Bible. That's a reality. So God, the devil's trying to do everything to keep you away from the Bible, trying to keep you away from Sunday school. I don't know if you do it Wednesday night here, if you do it Wednesday night, Thursday night, whatever they become. Look at God, the devil's trying to keep you away from that.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Sell out to Sunday school. Sell out to those midweek services. Give yourself to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What else is important for the one who gave himself for you so that you can have all?
That's right.
He gave all so you can have all, but yet he still takes fourth and fifth place.
Yeah.
I don't get that, brother.
Amen.
That drives me up the wall.
Amen.
Well, you go, we never worked. I worked. You know what days I didn't work? Wednesdays or Sundays. Never took a job where I had to work there, ever. Because there's nothing more important than me sitting underneath the preaching of the Word of God. Nothing more important than sitting here and worshiping God. Nothing.
Amen. Lord.
Brother, we've had hard times financially, but God has always come through because we sold out to Him.
Amen. And He will. Amen.
Me and my wife, in order to be this, a few years ago, God called me. I used to work. My wife worked as a teacher for 11 years, special ed teacher. And we were making almost close to $100,000 a year, full benefits. I remember when God told me, you're done. Time to do the ministry. Okay. I'll do that, Lord. My wife was still working. Was it a year later, honey, or a year and a half later? We were up in Maine, up at Brother Craig Cobb's church, evangelists up there, and they were preaching. And simultaneously, the Lord put it on both me and my wife's heart. We almost looked at each other at the same time. And he said, your wife is done working. Time to go full time. Well, God, we have we have this and we have that. And, you know, maybe when, you know, came to my heart, if we don't do it, God just may take everything from us anyway. So why not just give it to him and let him take it? Why are you so afraid? Why are you so afraid of this big God you say you have? How big is He in your life? I mean, what is more powerful than God? COVID? AIDS? Your bills? You say He's the biggest God that you've ever had. Let me just tell you this now. When people hear that Jesus Christ delivered me from opioids, with nothing, no other drugs whatsoever. It freaks them out. Why? Because nobody believes what God can do anymore. Amen. They've lost the ability to believe what God is really capable of.
Amen. That's good.
Do you not understand what God is capable of? I'm not talking about the God of that Bible. I'm not talking about your little flannograph Jesus. I'm talking about the real Jesus. I'm talking about the real Bible, the real God who spoke this world into existence. What can he do? Two men in here, a pastor and you, brother, that people in this world would have looked at way back when and said, there is no way God would ever touch them in a million years. Somebody gave up a job. Somebody prayed to bring them the gospel. Why? Because their soul is worth it. What is God put? Hey, what is it that he's put? I can see some of your faces. What is it that God is putting his finger on in your life? How big is he? How big is he? You go, you talk like that like you're big. No, man. It's just as hard for me as it is you. I don't have a Superman on my chest, but let me ask you this. How can you learn to trust God if you don't allow him to bring you through things?
Yeah.
How?
Good.
How? Do you know God works best when you're out of your comfort zone?
No.
Amen. And if he knows that, why wouldn't he keep you out of your comfort zone then? Because he knows you're more apt to read that Bible. You're more apt to hear him. You're more apt to hear the preaching when you're out of your comfort zone. So why wouldn't he keep you there? It's not easy. But my God, when you come out the other side, how wonderful is it, Pastor? How wonderful is it to come out the other side and you know that God had just did a work in your life. And you look back and you go, why didn't I submit to that a long time ago? Why didn't I go to God a long time? Because you don't believe. You know what Jesus Christ said? He did not many mighty works because of their unbelief.
All
right. Well, all right, first John, I'm going to read this and I got to close. Look at John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. Talking about salvation. It says, but as many, John chapter 1, verse 12, but as many as received him. You see, there's a reception that has to take place. That means you have to come to a place where you realize what you are in the eyes of God. And he shows you what you are. And the good news is, in spite of everything you ever done, in spite of everything you ever thought, in spite of everything that you ever done against God, the good news is, the gospel is, that he still loved you enough to die for you. That's the good news.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Nobody knows the good news anymore because nobody's telling them the good news in spite of everything they've done that Jesus Christ still loved them enough to die for them.
Yes.
Received the gospel to them. He gave the power to become the sons of God. Where did this power of salvation come from? God.
Right.
To them he gave the power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name. And by the way, the Bible never tells you to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior.
Believe.
You show me once where it tells you that. And I'll buy you dinner for a year. Brother, people always used to come up to me and say, wouldn't you like to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior? I said, no, I would not. Who is this Jesus? Why? I don't believe. Everybody that ever told me that I could trust them stabbed me in my back and did everything in their power to hurt me, and you want me to trust who? The Bible says a person must come to a place of belief.
That's right.
And then it'll work trust in their life. I'm in the process of learning how to trust God. I've come to that place of repentance and believing. And now God is working a trust in my life where every step I get closer to him. You know what my prayer has been? You know what I've been longing for? To hear the heartbeat of Jesus. To lay my head on his breast like John did. And to hear the heartbeat of the Savior. How about you? What are you longing for? What in this world has got your heart? If you're lost, it's okay. Jesus Christ came to save you. He wants to pull you in. He wants you to hear that blood running through his heart, those veins of his, that he thought of you. He knew that blood was going to come out of his body. And he thought of you on that day. He could have called down a legion of angels. By the way, one angel has the strength of 10,000 men. One angel. He could have called a legion down. What would he have done to that area? But you know why he said no? Because he saw every one of our faces. And he became our sin. It was made sin for us. The Bible says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will. You show me where it says set free in the King James Bible, please. Go to John chapter 8:36 or 8:32 and tell me where it says set free. It never does. Jail, prisons, mental hospitals, they always set me free to do those things that I wanted to do. Why? Because there's no change of heart. But Jesus Christ says, you'll know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What is the difference between set free and make free? Well, my glasses are already in existence, so that means I can set them anywhere I want. But to be made or to make means it did not exist until that very moment it was made. And when Jesus Christ steps in a person's life, he makes them free. He gives them something they never had before. And guess what that is? Not to go back to do those things that I did, but to serve him.
That's right.
Those words make a big difference in your King James Bible. That's why they're there. You go, you take that too far. No, God does. God put them in there. I just like to study. As you can tell, I don't learn my stuff from commentaries. I sit down with the Holy Ghost. Let him show me things. I don't need to read books. Books are man's opinions. I don't care what a man has to say. I want to hear what the Holy Ghost has to say when I sit down with his book. You go, are they all worthless? No, they're not all worthless. But I don't bet my bottom dollar on what a man writes in a book. But I sure do bet my bottom dollar on what's in that Bible. You go, you're crazy with that. Yep. I sure am. Why? Because it changed my eternity. Serious matter. We believe that Bible's perfect, then why don't we leave it the way it is and stop changing it?
Amen.
Brother, you know how I can tell when people are learning their stuff? Give me 5 minutes with you and I'll know exactly where you pulled it from. You know why? The studying has went from our Bible to books. And people haven't heard the voice of God in 60 and 70 years. Why? Because they're so used to hearing man's opinion. I had a talk with a man at one time. I said, well, the Bible says this. He said, well, so-and-so wrote that book. I said, you know what you can do with that book? You can throw it in the garbage and burn it somewhere. You ever step to me and tell me a man said this, I could care less what a man said. Show me in the Bible. Show me what that Bible says. Why? Because the Bible is the one that works that miracle inside of a person. Look at verse 13, and I'm going to close. Which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You see, being born again is a spiritual thing that goes on inside a person. It doesn't matter. Often people say, well, man, he don't drink anymore. He don't smoke anymore. He don't gamble anymore. He don't cuss. He must be saved. Wrong! The outward things are not what saves a person. It's the inward workings of the Holy Ghost. That's when a person's saved. Just because you do a few religious works doesn't mean a person's saved. How do you know that? Because I made a profession. And a profession is not salvation. Jesus Christ is. What are you trying to do? Make me doubt my salvation? No, maybe the Holy Ghost is. I'm not.
That's right.
I'm not. I'm just preaching the word.
Right.
Preaching what God gave me.
Yeah.
Psalm 51:6, and I'm closing. I have to say this one. It's a miracle that God works. It's a spiritual working. You know what the problem is? We always try to equate everything on the physical level. We forget about the spiritual aspect of things. There's a big spiritual aspect of things. And so people equate because here's what I've done on the outside, so I must have this Jesus. But yet inside, they're still with the same turmoil, the same depressions. You go, you mean a believer doesn't get depressed? Sure we do, but not on the same level an unsaved person does. Pastor, I was on 12 or 13 psychotropic medicines when I met my pastor. Bipolar disorder, PTSD, explosive anger disorder, you name it. How many pills am I on today, Amy? Yeah. Zero.
Amen. Praise God.
Well, how is that, Jesus?
Amen.
By the way, Baptists are making pharmaceutical companies rich. I've never seen Baptists so depressed in my life, Pastor. My goodness. They're the most sourpuss people I've ever seen. I said, look, and people are watching us, And we're expecting them to want to come into our church? It's time for us to consider. But look at Psalm chapter 51, and I'm going to close with this verse. I'm sorry I'm going over a little bit. Forgive me. I can't stop until the Holy Ghost tells me to, and I believe this is the last verse. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to buck authority. I would never do that to the pastor. I would never do that to the deacons in this church. But surely I have to preach what God gives me. I got to be obedient to God, and I'm not observed authority or nothing like that. Let me get this out. Psalm chapter 51. And verse 6 says this. Here's the problem. Why people aren't being saved today. It says, behold, thou desirest truth where? Yeah. On the inward parts. Not on the outward part. Not in our pea-brain minds. We can't figure out God. But he says, thou desirest truth on the inward parts. God wants truth on the inward parts. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27 says that God puts a small S spirit. You go, man, do those S's really matter? Yes, they do. It tells you exactly who's doing what in that Bible. So the small S spirit God puts inside of us, according to John chapter 1, verse 9. Yeah. And what is that thing? It says that that spirit is a candle of the Lord. And what's it doing? It's lighting the inward parts of our belly. It's lighting that place that we've shut off. It's lighting that place that we try to hide. It's lighting that place that we try to shut off. We don't want nobody going there. And God is trying to light that up. The problem today, people are doing this. They're blowing out that candle. They don't want God to put their finger on that.
Right.
They don't want God to look into that. Because when God looks into that, they have to admit that that's what they are. Verse 16. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. God is not, he's not worried about our religiousness. He's not worried about our religious acts. Verse 17, the sacrifices of God are what? A broken spirit, a broken and what's that last word? You know what that word contrite means? It means you come to a place of absolute brokenness because you realize what you are in God's eyes. We can't get people there today because their hearts are so hard. And so what's it going to take? It's going to take for us getting involved in their lives and to love them, the unlovable. Those society says there is no hope. Those that are sitting in church and saying, I've been here my whole life. I sat in church my whole entire life. And they've been blinded by the devil and their goodness. God desires a person to come to a place of deep contrition. That sorrow for when they realize what they are in God's eyes. And I'm going to tell you what right now. There's only one place that's going to drive you, and that's to the cross. When you realize how God really sees you, sure, he's a God of love, but he's also a God of holiness and righteousness. And look at, no matter what, God would not even say one little white lie to save you from hell. And God wants to show every single one of us that thing. He wants to bring us to our knees and show us what he has against us. Christian, you're not out of this because you can have a contrite heart against the things that you're doing. What is it today, during this service, that God put his heart on? Look, I've seen your faces. God put his finger on some stuff in some people's lives in this church. And you need to deal with it. Don't run from it. Nobody has to know about it. But I'm telling you now, you better deal with it. Because look at me. Too many people are playing Russian roulette with their soul. One more time I can get away with it. One more time I can walk out of church and be okay. And I'm telling you now, don't cross that line. Why? You might lose your life. I preached in March. And God just told me, and I've never done it before, ever. And I never have. You can ask my wife. I preached in March. At the end of the meeting, I just said, look, God just showed me there's going to be a tragedy going on in this church. Because of your hard hearts and your stiff neck. And it wasn't not even 2 months ago, one of the leaders of the church just absolutely died out of nowhere, very healthy and everything, and then blew that church out of the water. Why? Because that person played with God one too many times. You see, people don't know God in that way, brother. In the old times, back in the days, God would show himself that way. Today, in his mercy, he hasn't done it so much, but I'm telling you right now, God's done playing games. He's done playing with the whole religious nonsense that you're putting on in your life. is done with the sin that you think that you're okay with in your life, and try to come to church and try to listen to a Bible and think that you're okay, you're not okay. And God's telling you you're not okay. Come back tonight and hear what God has for you. But better yet, when you leave here, if you don't take care of it here, when you leave here, go home and take care of it, because that's the most important thing that you can ever do in your life. Pastor, I'm done.